Guns N' Roses, welcome to the jungle, also known as the Phil Nason Show. I'm happy to have you here. It is Wednesday afternoon, February the 6th, 2013, and I'm excited to bring this basketball show to you. I'll tell you what, yesterday's program, by the time I had it posted up and I put it on a few places, holy cow, Look, I was just answering a question about Piers Morgan and giving my own opinion, all right? I'm not a lawyer. I never claimed to be. I just took a couple constitutional law classes in college, big deal. But I have a right to my opinion just as much as you do, and it's all good in the hood. I didn't get angry. I'm sorry that some of you did, but whatever. But it was wild. I gotta tell you, that was a wild day on Tuesday. Having people accuse me of not being American because I live in Greece. I mean, people make assumptions that are just nuts. But one thing we don't do on Wednesdays is make assumptions. We don't try to do that any day of the week here at the Phil Nason Show. And joining me today for our normal Wednesday basketball chat, especially fantasy basketball by demand, is SportsKings.com's Pass the Pills managing editor, Mr. Andy Flint. Andy, what's up, man? How are you?
Just another cold day in Western New York. How you doing, Phil?
I'm doing good, man. I tell you what, I should have said my new colleague, Andy Flint, at the Sports Kings. I've been so jacked up over fighting with these people, I keep forgetting to tell people that we'll be doing some things together, and that's a lot of fun, man. I'm really happy about that.
We are too, Phil.
Thank you very much, and we'll get into more of it when Jason comes on. Anyhow, NBA news, Andy. NBA news. Allen Iverson making news. You know, a friend of mine plays basketball in Turkey, and he told me that when Allen Iverson came out there, he said the same thing about Deron Williams, too. He said, I don't know what the big stink is about these guys. What's up with Allen Iverson turning down the D-League in Dallas?
Well, he wants to play basketball. It's, you know, glaringly obvious, and I don't know why he wouldn't want to play basketball, but he just does not want to play in the D-League. It's hard to gauge what Iverson's motives here are. I think, you know, the money's one thing because he's not going to get paid to play in the D-League, and obviously recent goings have shown us he needs a little money. I just feel like to Iverson at this point, to his ego, it's a slight to play in the D-League. And it's a sad story. I mean, you see it all the time with these players in the NBA, the NFL, what have you, who just they can't. It's hard for guys to go out on top. You know, you look, there was a guy, Patrick Ewing, hung around forever. I remember him playing for Orlando, and he was, you know, terrible. He was a 15-foot jump shooter. But some of these guys can't exit gracefully, and Iverson's just dragging this thing on. I mean, I don't know. And now he's in court. Looks like he's a bad father these days. I'm not going to speculate whether he is or not because I'm not there. I'm not a fly on the wall. But he has, you know, a judge called him a bad parent. He won't play in the D-League. The guy's just in the news, and none of it's positive. I think it's time for Iverson to just hang it up and forget about basketball, move on.
Yeah, maybe so. I remember arguing with my friend Scott way back in 2000 and 2001. He used to rag on me because I used to say to him, Allen Iverson ain't all that you think he is, trust me. And he used to go, the answer, every time Iverson would do well. But my question is, who is the answer now? I mean, which do we believe? I want to believe that he is a marginal Hall of Famer who had his own way about him, but man, was electrifying at times and could take your breath away at times. And of course, could nauseate you at times. I would never, if I was the owner of a minor league basketball team or a D-League team, I would never disgrace this kid by asking him to come play. Because that's a disgrace. That's disrespectful. I mean, this kid, whatever we think of him or whatever any judge thinks of him, this guy was a bona fide superstar in the NBA. And it's too bad that he can't latch on, but he's never been a team player to begin with. So why would we expect him to play for a D-League where team ball and playing on a team is stressed? D-League is for those guys who have issues, like Delonte West is down there. That would be a very good basketball team there, but I'm sorry to see this too. I don't know what's going on with his legal woes, and nor do I care. It's not my problem. I have my own. But Allen Iverson, you made some more news, and you made my show for the first time. Congratulations. Another guy who's made my show for the very first time, Billy Hunter. He is on paid leave of absence for nepotism, mismanagement of funds, all kinds of things. What's going on with Billy Hunter, the former head of the NBA Players Association?
Well, Billy Hunter, as everybody knows, he's served as the president of the Players Association since 1996. It looks like, I mean, and I hate to point the finger because, again, with the Iverson thing, I'm not a fly on the wall there. But it seems, as far as the information that I've gathered and we've all gathered over the years, Billy Hunter's just been misusing his position the whole time. I mean, Derek Fisher called him out a year ago. Now, you remember Derek Fisher, has been sick of Billy Hunter, it seems, probably for longer than a year. I would say that this stems for years and years here, but called him out a year ago. And of course, Hunter's lawyer is denying this. And I quote, saying, "I am deeply troubled by the lack of fundamental fairness shown to my client." And obviously your lawyer's going to say that. I think, any lawyer who doesn't say that shouldn't be your lawyer. But Hunter's misuse of his position, funds, it has been well documented. And this is just the first step to Hunter, you know, officially being out. Ron Kleppner is the union's – he's the longtime deputy counsel. He's been appointed interim executive in Hunter's absence. And it looks like he might take over for the long term.
Yeah, Billy Hunter, man, he's been around forever. He did a lot for those guys in Lambeer's era and Joe Dumars' era. But Derek Fisher, you're right, he's been after him for a while, and now you know why. He's hiring his family, he's misusing his position. And you know something, when you have no accountability, yet you're able to argue for these players and make them lots of money, no one's going to get mad at the guy. Well, Derek Fisher's out of the game now, and he could kind of took a step back. When that lockout happened last year, I think Billy Hunter got exposed. And now we see what's happened, and I think he's gone for good. And probably time for him to go. I think it's probably just time for him to go. It should be anyway. And then you know what? Speaking of gone and out, Thaddeus Young from the Sixers is out with a hamstring. Blake Griffin's out with a hamstring. Chris Paul's still out. What is going on in the NBA with these hamstrings and kneecap bruises?
Well, hamstrings are a pretty common sports injury. It's, you know, not the best feeling thing in the world. Thaddeus did this against the Orlando Magic on Monday night. He just looked like he was attempting to get a rebound. And, you know, he kind of came down on the floor pretty hard. And, I mean, I would consider him day-to-day for now. But Thaddeus Young, it's a big hit to the Sixers. He might not be the best player on the floor, but he definitely is one of the leaders in energy, I'd say, in the entire NBA. The guy has a motor that just doesn't quit. And, I mean, he's pretty valuable to the Sixers team right now as they're looking to, you know, secure their playoff run. And it's going to be a big hit. These hamstrings can take time. I mean, it could be anywhere from a day or two, a game or two, or, a couple weeks.
Yeah, they're awful to have. I'll tell you that. I've had them a couple of times. But this Blake Griffin thing is not or hasn't occurred at a very good time because with Chris Paul, and I'll tell you something right now, they're holding him back. I think you were right last week. You're not going to see him back on the court until after the All-Star break. They may do the same thing with Blake Griffin. How does that affect the All-Star game, though, now?
Well, I mean, they're obviously, if Chris Paul and Blake Griffin both can go. And to me, I always feel like the All-Star game is really a lot less important than, you know, making sure your guys are ready to go. But as far as this injury for the Clippers, it's not good. And Blake Griffin's the same thing as Thaddeus Young. It's a hamstring. So I won't try to give a different, you know, expected time to miss here. It's going to be the same, anything from a couple games to a couple weeks with Blake. Blake and Thaddeus are, I mean, kind of similar players, and they used a lot of jumping, a lot of athleticism. So this kind of a hamstring injury is going to take its toll. The Clippers could ill afford this injury. I mean, they weren't even winning games with Blake, let's be honest. Chris Paul's MVP stock has skyrocketed in my eyes. I was saying that on Twitter the other day. I mean, his numbers might not be as convincing as, say, a Carmelo Anthony, LeBron James, or a Kevin Durant, but Chris Paul's the man in LA, and there's really no denying it at this point. They just don't really have a go-to guy without him. Blake Griffin, I mean, it's hard for him to get his own buckets. But being that he's injured, I mean, you just kind of have the Jamal Crawford show going on against the Wizards. They lost. I mean, how do you lose to the Wizards? That team shouldn't lose to the Wizards anyway. But, I mean, Jamal Crawford, Caron Butler, DeAndre Jordan, these are not guys that are going to lead you to the promised land. They need Chris Paul, most importantly, first and foremost. And they need Blake Griffin, too.
Yeah, and both of them are in trouble. You know, Chris Paul is the type of player, though, that you expect him to be out for some extended period of time every year. He's always getting hurt. But, yeah, I think you're right. I think Chris Paul, well, you said it on this show the first time you came on when we talked about the Clippers. Do the Clippers go without Paul? They go nowhere without Chris Paul. Matt Barnes is okay. Lamar Odom's okay. These guys are bit players. Jamal Crawford, a bit player. I don't care what anyone says. Bit players win championships. But you need two big players to help you out, two, possibly even three. And with Blake Griffin out, they could get by. Without Chris Paul, and without Chauncey Billups, the Clippers are in big trouble. And speaking of the Clippers, there's rumors flying all over the place. You never know who to believe on Twitter or Facebook or any of the other places that we have to frequent to try to stay one step ahead of everyone else. Apparently, there is interest in L.A. in Kevin Garnett. Any truth to this? What have you heard? Because I've heard some things, too.
Well, you've been hearing it the last couple of days with them talking about the possibility of Kevin Garnett being traded to the Los Angeles Clippers. First of all, I don't know if we've talked about it on this show yet. I know we've talked about it on King's Court a couple times. The most important part of this is Kevin Garnett has a no-trade clause. So they can't just trade Kevin Garnett. He has to sign on for this. He has to waive that clause. And I think that might be the hardest part. I actually did read – this wasn't about this particular trade, but a couple weeks ago I remember reading that KG said that he doesn't want to go without Paul Pierce, basically. Now, I didn't quite catch if that meant Paul Pierce needs to go with him or if Paul Pierce needs to go too. So I think KG's saying he doesn't want to go unless they're breaking up the band. And I don't really see where this trade works. Now, the couple of trade scenarios I've heard was I heard DeAndre Jordan and Eric Bledsoe for KG, which I think if you're the Clippers, you're nuts to trade all that for KG. The other one was Caron Butler and Eric Bledsoe for Kevin Garnett, which I don't like the trade. I don't think that it works. I've been reading this morning that it's not going to happen anyway. But again, like I said to you before the show, until that February 21st deadline hits and, you know, it's not happened or it hasn't happened by then, I won't count it out. But I don't know where this trade really works. Now, Eric Bledsoe has been phenomenal. He needs to get traded somewhere where he can start, or he just needs to finish this season with the Clippers and try to win a championship. I see him now for the Celtics would be great because Rondo's out for probably, you know, eight months to a year. And he can fill in that spot. But once Rondo comes back, then they have Bradley, Rondo, and Bledsoe. My pal Mark Evans was saying this morning on King's Court, what are you going to do with that? You have three, you know, probably two of the most indispensable players on Boston are Rondo and Avery Bradley at this point moving forward. Why would you throw another guard into that mix, especially a guy who's probably ready to start? And then to me, what's Kevin Garnett bring to the Clippers? He brings – I don't think he's a better defender than DeAndre Jordan necessarily, maybe on the ball, but DeAndre's a better at covering the rim. I think KG can get his own shot late, but he's also going to be slower. He's going to slow down the tempo of that team overall. I just don't see the fit. Plus, Caron Butler is a good wing defender. So if he was in the trade instead of DeAndre Jordan, I just don't see the sense. I think both teams get worse out of this deal.
Well, I'm pretty close with the Celtics people, not the big people, but people who have a pretty good idea. And they tell me that they are breaking up the band. And the reason they are is because Danny Ainge realizes and Doc Rivers realized that it's going to be 2 years for Rondo, not one. One to come back, two to be all the way. Those guys are already going to be gone, and you may as well cash in. And more importantly, because of their loyalty to the Boston Celtics organization, They're going to make them great trades, great opportunities to go elsewhere to possibly win another championship, and then bring them back and retire their uniforms. Now, that's what I was told, and I think they're right. But I think what's going to happen, I think that Kevin Garnett's going to wind up in Dallas, because Mark Cuban, he says a lot of crappy things about a lot of people, but he would take Kevin Garnett in a heartbeat, and Kevin Garnett would fit right in down there. And I think Paul Pierce is going to wind up, now I know you're going to not believe this, I'm going to tell you anyway, Paul Pierce is going to wind up in Los Angeles with the Lakers.
With the Lakers?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think they're going to break up the band too. I think you're absolutely right, but I just, the Clippers trade to me just doesn't make any sense. Not for Garnett. I mean, I just don't see why adding an older, slower guy for, you know, young, explosive players. I don't understand how that makes the Clippers better. You have a good thing. I mean, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
That's exactly right. I tell you what, Andy, we're off to a flying start. And when we return, we're going to dissect the Rudy Gay trade to, I don't want to say gay too loud. I'm getting a catch at hell when I do now, Andy. But the Rudy Gay trade to Toronto. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Phil Nason Show on these amazing affiliates. We'll be right back.
Stitcher Smart Radio is an award-winning, free mobile application that lets you listen to your favorite shows and discover the best of news, entertainment, and sports on demand. Now you don't even need a Wi-Fi or a cell connection to listen to shows like The Phil Nason Show. Never miss another show. It's real simple. Just go to Stitcher.com and download the free app today. And never miss another Phil Nason Show. Been dreaming of that Greek vacation? Well, if you have, then you might want to check out the folks at the Aridi Grand Hotel, located in beautiful Corfu, Greece. Come experience world-class cuisine as well as the hospitality that Greece is legendary for at the Aridi Grand Hotel. You can find them at aridihotel.com or email them at reservations@aridihotel.com. This Week in Tennis is a weekly tennis program covering all aspects of professional tennis. The most controversial tennis show anywhere deals with issues no one seems to want to touch. For music and hard-hitting commentary, please visit Phil Nason's .com.
And we're back here once again on the Phil Nason Show, the Wednesday, February the 6th, 2013 edition of the Phil Nason Show. And on the line with me, on the Skype line, from SportsKings.com's Pass the Pill, is Andy Flint. Andy, the Rudy Gay trade. Good Lord. You know, every time I say the word gay, people call me homophobic now. It's really strange, man. But anyway, that's his real name, folks, for those of you who are looking to point fingers and throw stones. Anyhow.
They also have Aaron Gray.
Yeah, they do. See? But if I say that, it's okay. Maybe I'll say it twice. We'll call them one and two. But anyhow, for those of you who aren't familiar, Rudy Gay was traded to, along with Haseem Hadidi, right? Was it Hadidi? Yeah, Hadidi.
Yeah.
Was traded to Toronto Raptors for Ed Davis and Jose Calderon. Then in turn, Memphis flipped or traded Jose Calderon to the Detroit Pistons for Austin Day and Tayshaun Prince. Now, you've been dying to talk about this, Andy. Go ahead. What were your thoughts? Because last week when you and I talked about this, we had half the trade right. What were you thinking when it came out?
Well, I mean, I like where the trade went, honestly, just because I'm the type of guy who likes to see these trades. I love it. I'm always on a trade machine on ESPN. I'm always on Twitter, jawing with people about this trade and that trade and the possibilities. I don't know. To me, it's something that just gets my engine revving. I love to read about trades. I love to talk about trades, whether they're going to happen or not going to happen. So to me, this was three names that were top priority kind of in the trade. Well, two that were top priority for sure was Rudy Gay and Jose Calderon. It kind of seemed like Rudy Gay might stay after the Cavaliers-Memphis deal that happened a couple weeks ago with Wayne Ellington and Maurice Spates because they were now under the luxury tax. But then it became immediately clear that the Grizzlies still planned on maybe trading Gay. So he was probably the biggest name right now in trade news. Calderon's been another one who's been in the trade discussions for the past two, three seasons now. It seems like Memphis, for some reason, didn't really like Jose too much, and I could never put my finger on it because he's, you know, a prototypical facilitating point guard, and you just don't see that often enough in the NBA, and teams can thrive when having one of those. And Tayshaun Prince, I wouldn't call him a headline trade asset, but people knew that he was kind of, his time was done in Detroit. And I feel like the Memphis Grizzlies won this trade hands down, in my personal opinion. Usually they'll tell you the team who got the best player wins the trade. When you talk Carmelo Anthony, all the stuff that the Knicks had to give up to attain him, they still won the trade because they got Carmelo. Same thing with Deron Williams. Generally the team who gets the best player wins. But in this case, to me, Memphis did exactly what it needed to do. They secured Ed Davis, who's gonna, you know, he can back up both Zach Randolph and Marc Gasol. And he probably has a higher ceiling than any of the forward slash centers that they had coming off the bench before. They had Spates, who's a nice player, but Ed Davis is gonna be a better player than Maurice Spates. He's got a ceiling that's just so high. And Tayshaun Prince, I mean, now you're talking about a guy who has championship experience. A lot of people think he's done, but he's still been playing some pretty good basketball. I mean, I don't think people would believe me until they look up the stats. So if you're sitting at your computer listening to this show, go look up the stats. Tayshaun Prince is averaging about 13 points a game, 2.5 assists, nearly 5 rebounds. And actually, the most exciting thing I think for Memphis with Tayshaun Prince would be the fact that he shoots 43% from three-point land this season. Now, he's only taken about a 3.5 a game, but he's making them at high percentage, and that's what Memphis is going to be able to use that. A lot of people were, you know, saying, you know, now Memphis lost their ability to have that score late in the playoffs. A guy I respect a lot that I talk to all the time, used to write for us at Pass the Pill, Carlos, we were talking on Twitter, and he said, you watch, you wait in the playoffs when they need those buckets, because everybody's doubling Zach Randolph and Marc Gasol. They're going to need that kickout score. But to me, Rudy Gay can't really create his own shot, not on a consistent basis at least. He can't create his own shot constantly. And his defense has always been overrated. He's long. He's tall. He plays good help defense. One-on-one, he's not a great defender. Tayshaun Prince is a better defender than him, and he's just as long. They didn't lose any length within that team defense. So to bring in a guy that shoots a good percentage, who can hit the three at a high percentage, who plays defense, who's going to guard your LeBron James, you know, your Manu Ginobili's, the guys they're going to see in the playoffs. This is a good move. And now they have that depth with Ed Davis coming off the bench. Detroit, it's kind of a weird deal because I don't know what they want to do with Calderon. I think they just want his expiring money. But I think they should look to keep him because they have nothing but tweeners on that roster. Brandon Knight, Will Bynum, Rodney Stuckey. None of these guys are real point guards. Calderon, I'd take him any day of the week over. I'd take him over to any two of those guys. So I think they got a good deal depending on what they're going to do with it. And then I just feel like Toronto fell on their heads on this one. I know a lot of people disagree with that. Everybody thinks Toronto won because they're looking at the name Rudy Gay. But I just have to look at it from a quick stat point. I mean, analytics guys love this. Rudy Gay, this season, is shooting 41% from field goal range. In his last 10 games, two of them are in Toronto, he's shooting under 41%. He's shooting 40% from field goal range. Then you have DeMar DeRozan, who shoots like 42 or 43%. That's not a good comp. That's not what I want to see out of my two scoring positions. I don't want to see guys that are shooting, you know, what's their average? Like a 41%, 42% from the field? That's never going to bring you championships. To me, they have two nice players who can now score, but they traded away, you know, a guy who could be a dominant center in Ed Davis, and they lost that to get these two guys. And now everybody's calling Lowry, Gay, and DeMar DeRozan the big three. Just wait. I think everybody in Toronto is going to be real sick of these guys by the end of next season.
Yeah, of course. I happen to agree. You know something? When they talked about this trade, and I talked about this on Monday, the two teams that benefited the most are Memphis. Memphis got the best end of this deal. They really did. Because one thing they were able to do is stay under the luxury tax for the next 2 years with what they have now. And two, actually, they can actually go out and get a couple smaller pieces if they want. That was a very good trade, getting rid of Mr. Gay. I have to tell you, Tayshaun Prince, veteran player, he's wearing a championship ring. He was a big part of the Detroit Pistons' success. Detroit didn't want him to go, but they did what a lot of great teams, and Joe Dumars is an old basketball guy. He gets it. We're not going anywhere. Let this guy go out like a champion, and if he has the chance, we'll do it. And if we can help our club, we'll help our club. And you're right, they did. Because here's the thing. This guy is playing the best he's ever played in the NBA, or the best he has in the last 3 or 4 years. He was quietly doing it down in Detroit. His first game with Memphis, he had 14 points. His three-point field goal percentage is the best of his career. He maybe only shoots four times, but like Andy said, boom, they go in. You shoot at 47% from the three-point land. That's unheard of. That's Steve Novak sort of thing. And you saw what happened with Steve Novak this year. But anyway, with the Raptors, what did they get out of this? They got Rudy Gay. They got a four now. He can play the four. But the problem with Rudy Gay is he's just not that good of a shooter. You know, if he were a better shooter that could have helped out, they wouldn't have had to worry so much in Memphis about paying the luxury tax, because that's what Memphis has needed. They've needed someone who could beat you from outside. The game plan's always been against Memphis, at least this year anyhow, is to double down on Randolph and Gasol and then just let them beat you from outside. And at times they could, and at times they couldn't. Getting rid of Rudy Gay made all the sense in the world, but him in Toronto. Now, my first reaction was, Andy was the one that brought up Jose Calderon. That was a pretty good deal. That was my first reaction. My second reaction was this. What are they going to do now? Are they going to trade DeMar DeRozan? Or are they going to trade Andreas Bargnani? Who are they going to trade? Because those three can't exist together, salary cap-wise or any otherwise. This is a tough road to hoe. And the problem with Toronto is there's too much mediocrity. I said this on Monday, Andy. I'll say it again. When your biggest acquisition is Landry Fields, you've got problems. And that's because they cannot bring big-time free agents up there. No one wants to go up there. It's a party place. It's White Vegas.
White Vegas.
That's right.
Absolutely.
That's what
we were there, and we loved it. We went to Blogs with Balls 5 back in October, and actually Jason Whitney was the one. He said, for now on, any athlete that doesn't want to come to Toronto or stay in Toronto long term, he goes, they're on my – I'm filing them under crazy. They're getting the crazy stamp, because it is a great city. Now it's cold, but, I mean, we had a heck of a time in Toronto. Great places to eat. You know, the street life was excellent. The architecture, I mean, it was a fun time.
Well, that's the problem. I know some guys who played in the NBA, and they've told me that they call it White Vegas because it was the place where when they knew they were going to Toronto, they had a hard time not smiling when they were kissing their girlfriends and wives goodbye, because it is that kind of place. It's White Las Vegas. There's plenty of strip joints there as well. Yeah, that's the place to go if you want to just languish in mediocrity, because no one else wants to go there. They've lost a lot of guys over the years for that reason. But I got to tell you, I think that giving up Jose Calderon I don't know. I think the Pistons are lucky to have him, but the Raptors, they're going to stay in mediocrity. That is just the way it is. They've got that Ross kid sitting on the pine because DeRozan is there. Now, what do you do with that? You know, you got all these components that could be good on a basketball team, but they're all playing in the same position, and it just doesn't make sense.
Logjam.
That's what it is, a logjam. And then, of course, you've got Detroit. And losing Austin Day, you know, he was a big disappointment for Detroit. I wouldn't call him a bust. I just think they just gave up on him. But Tayshaun Prince was a big fan favorite. And he's out of there. Calderon, I think he's only there for the rest of the year. And then it's all said and done. They shed another $10 million off the books. They have $36 million, the Pistons, to play with in free agency. That's a lot of money. They might be able to get themselves a player or two.
People will go there, too, most importantly.
That's the thing, because the GM and, you know, it's a lot of different things. But I think that, honestly, I think Memphis was the big winner in this trade. Toronto may have gotten the best player out of the deal, but Memphis got the best component out of this deal. I firmly believe that. But now, where does that leave Memphis? I predicted that Detroit would be wind up the AC because now Boston's going to just self-destruct with Sullinger gone now, too. What does that do for Memphis? How does that make them the contender for the Western Conference championship that they should be?
Well, I think the only thing – to me personally, I think losing Spates – and this is going to sound crazy. I think losing Spates is almost a bigger hit than losing Rudy Gay because of what they got back for Rudy Gay. Now, for Rudy Gay, they got the Ed Davis and they got the Tayshaun Prince. And I feel like Ed Davis and Tayshaun Prince combined is better than Rudy Gay. For Maurice Spates, they got, you know, salary back. They don't have to dip into that luxury tax. So they kind of lost him. For no, you know, and Wayne Ellington too was providing big buckets. They lost those two for essentially nothing. They got John Lohr, but nobody cares. The one thing now is Jared Bayless really has to step up for this team more. Tayshaun Prince, we don't need to worry about Tayshaun Prince. He might take a couple weeks to adjust. If there's any, you know, there's a handful of guys, a couple handfuls of guys in this league that I don't think you really need to worry about adjusting to a new offense or defense or what have you. And Tayshaun Prince is on the top of that list. I don't think it doesn't take much to accommodate a player like Tayshaun Prince because you know what you're going to get. You're going to get defense, team, and one-on-one, and you're going to get a guy who can shoot at a high percentage. And he's not going to take bad shots. He's not going to force the issue. That's what you're losing with Rudy Gay. You're losing a guy who took a lot of bad shots, who forced the issue, who I feel like couldn't create his own shot. You know, maybe 5 times out of 10, Rudy Gay could create his own shot, but he couldn't put it together. You know, the 40% kills me. I can't get past the guy shooting 40% that we want to call a star, a guy that's going to make $17 and $19 million in this season and next season, respectively, shooting 40%. I just feel like bringing in a guy like Tayshaun Prince who knows his role, he has the ring, he has the championship belt from Rasheed Wallace. He's a gamer. He's on it. He might be 32 years old, but he can still play basketball. He's going to give that team. He's going to – if we rewind the clock to a couple seasons ago, remember, Rudy Gay was injured. Shane Battier, Tony Allen stepped in at the 2 and the 3 along with Conley, who Conley's become much more of an indisposable piece than Rudy Gay if you ask me. So it was Marc Gasol, Zach Randolph, Shane Battier, who, what's his forte? Knocking down threes and playing defense. Tony Allen and Mike Conley. And what did they do? Upset the Spurs, and they went on a tear. So I said before this Rudy Gay thing, before Tayshaun Prince ever popped into my head as being a component to come to Memphis, is I was saying that Memphis can get by adding a solid defender at that three spot for Rudy Gay and then a little bench. And they got Ed Davis. Ed Davis is going to be a great player off the bench for them. And then they got their defender on the wing in there. So I feel like they got better. And Jerry Bayless has been playing good basketball the last couple of games now too. So I feel like that team has got some fire to throw at people in the Western Conference come playoff time.
I think so too, but they better find a way to put the ball in the basket from outside or they're done. because that double down works very well and is very effective against Randolph and Gasol.
Mike, Prince can post, though, too.
What's that?
Prince can post, though, too. So you've got a third. And add Davis. You now have four guys who can play in the post reliably. I mean, they're going to get the shots. It's going to be up to guys like Tony Allen and Bayless and Conley and Tayshaun Prince. They got to knock down their shots. You're right. But I think they will. I think they'll be okay.
Okay, because I'm worried about Conley. I don't think he's the shooter that people say he is, especially when the pressure's on. I'll tell you what, that was a very good segment. When we return, we're going to give you some names for your fantasy basketball teams. It's getting crunch time now. You got to start making some decisions on your rosters because it's going to be locked in a couple weeks. We're going to tell you who we think you should pick up in the small forward position, the power forward position, and the centers. We're talking bigs. And we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Phil Nason Show on these amazing affiliates. We'll be right back.
Stitcher Smart Radio is an award-winning, free mobile application that lets you listen to your favorite shows and discover the best of news, entertainment, and sports on demand. Now you don't even need a Wi-Fi or a cell connection to listen to shows like The Phil Nason Show. Never miss another show. It's real simple. Just go to Stitcher.com and download the free app today. And never miss another Phil Nason Show. Been dreaming of that Greek vacation? Well, if you have, then you might want to check out the folks at the Aridi Grand Hotel, located in beautiful Corfu, Greece. Come experience world-class cuisine as well as the hospitality that Greece is legendary for at the Aridi Grand Hotel. You can find them at aridihotel.com or email them at reservations@aridihotel.com. This Week in Tennis is a weekly tennis program covering all aspects of professional tennis. The most controversial tennis show anywhere deals with issues no one seems to want to touch. For music and hard-hitting commentary, please visit Phil Nason's
And we're back talking NBA basketball with SportsKings.com's Andy Flint. And now we are going to move into the portion of the program that we like to dedicate to fantasy basketball. Andy, what do you think about the small forward position? How important is the small forward? And more importantly, how hard is it to find good, reliable small forwards?
I mean, I think the finding small forwards is probably one of the easier things. Small forwards and shooting guards to me are kind of the two positions that are littered with quality players. I mean, that you can get to fill out those last few spots on your roster. So I think, there's some guys out there that we'll talk about for sure.
The first guy that, in the small forward that is available on the ESPN wire is Michael Beasley at 49.5%. What about Michael Beasley? How do you feel about him?
Well, he's the top guy on my list. I'm back to running with ESPN this week. Everybody, don't worry. My ESPN's working this morning, unlike last week. So we're 49.5%. And you guys all know from listening to me the past few weeks now, I like to use the last 15 days. And Michael Beasley over the last 15 days is averaging 17 points a game, 5.5 rebounds, and he's making almost a three, which, I mean, that's kind of just an added bonus when you're talking about Beasley. But he's getting a steal too, guys. So I feel like 17 points, even if he didn't average anything else, the 17 points a game is enough to go pick him up. Go get him. 49.5% own. Actually, the league I'm staring at right now, I'm going to click the button. I drafted Michael Beasley in this league. I had since then dropped him. But see, there we go. I'm adding him right now. So that's about as easy as it gets, guys. But some of the other small forwards that I have, Phil, were I have Jimmy Butler from the Chicago Bulls. Over the last 15 days, and this is actually the most alarming stat for him, is he's playing 39 minutes a game over the last 15 days, shooting a high percentage, and he's averaging 14 points, 7.3 rebounds. 7.3 rebounds. And he's getting a steal and a half a game. And another great thing is he's only getting less than one full turnover a game, and he's only 34.5% owned. So go pick yourself up Jimmy Butler. You might not know who Jimmy Butler is, but that doesn't matter. Go get him. Another guy, and we've talked about him countless times, is Gerald Henderson from the Charlotte Bobcats. He's still working his way back from injury, and he can play the two and the three. But he's averaging 10 points, three rebounds. He's only 12.1% owned. And Gerald Henderson's numbers might not look as good as the last two guys, but he's a guy you give a chance to because you've seen what he could do last season. So he's worth the project of the next couple weeks that it might take. And if he doesn't work out, you can always drop him. I have three more for the small forward. Caron Butler, 27.9 minutes a game. He's going to get you 12 points, about four rebounds, and a steal. His turnovers, he's getting about one a game, and he's only 9.2% owned for the Clippers. With Chris Paul and Blake Griffin out, that's huge, guys. Even if it's only for two or three games, get Caron Butler in your lineup because he's probably the best scorer they have besides Jamal Crawford right now. My next guy is Martell Webster from the Washington Wizards. Over the last 15 days, he's averaging close to 15 points a game, 3.5 boards, 2.2 assists, and he's making almost three balls per game. Last but not least for my small forwards, this guy can play shooting guard as well, is CJ Miles. The only thing I don't like about CJ is he's only getting 17 minutes a game, but he's putting in work in 17 minutes, averaging about 13 points a game, three rebounds, two assists, and he's making 2.3 threes. That's all I had for small forwards.
Okay, I got a few just to add in there. Tayshaun Prince, he's only 17% owned, and I think he's going to do big things in Memphis. We just talked about that. Another guy who's a sleeper, 9.8% owned, is Jeff Green. With all those injuries, somebody's got to put the ball in the basket. Might as well be him, right? And he does rebound a little bit. Another guy who I had on my fantasy team, I dropped him, I waived him because he was injured for a while, was Kawhi Leonard. He's 48.9% owned, and he can play shooting guard, I believe, as well, depending on what league you're in. That's a good pickup. Harrison Barnes from Golden State, he's 17.7% owned. Not a bad pickup at all there. Corey Brewer in Denver, this is not a bad pickup. These are guys that people just... because they don't have big names, no one picks up, and these guys play pretty decent. So there's your small forwards, fellas and ladies. We're really happy to bring that to you, and I'm really happy to be able to read those emails because it's a lot better, Andy, when I read the fantasy basketball emails than when I read, like, the political stuff I do on Tuesdays. That's a different issue altogether. Anyhow, power forwards, and there are – this gets a little more dicey, I suppose. But let me lead off with one for you, and then we'll let Andy take over from there. Maurice Spates. Good pickup, bad pickup, what?
Oh, absolutely a great pickup. He's on my list. Getting 23 minutes a game in Cleveland. We talked about Spates a few minutes ago when we were talking about the Memphis stuff. Spates is actually, I tweeted Spates because I was excited for him when he got moved because I feel like Cleveland's a great opportunity for him. Not that he cared that I tweeted him, nor did he tweet back. But 13 points a game, six boards, and he's only 11.7% owned. And he's still working his way into that system, guys. If you want to look at a guy like Maurice Spates' game log, since he's been there, 21-10 was his most recent game, 17-8 the game before that, 12-5, 17-5, and 10-6. So he just keeps getting better every game. Give him a shot. He's playing 23 minutes right now. He's probably – I would look for him to move up to about 27 minutes a game in Cleveland. He's going to do good things because he can play both the 4 and the 5. Some other names I have, Earl Clark. Jump on him while he's hot. Mike D'Antoni seems to think he's better than Pau Gasol. over the last 15 days. He's averaging 12 points, 8.4 rebounds a game, an assist, a steal, and about a half a block. And he's only 41.5% owned. And if you want to look at his game log, he got 17 and 10, 13 and 10, 5 and 8, 20 and 12, 11 and 4. He's been pretty good for the Lakers. Seems like he's a guy whose skill set doesn't fit a lot of teams, but it really fits in L.A., and he's making the most of it. A couple other names I have Jeff Green from the Boston Celtics. He can play the 3 or the 4, averaging about 12 and 4 right now, and he's 9.8% owned. And then I have Patrick Patterson of the Houston Rockets. I always have Patrick Patterson. I love me some Patrick Patterson. 11.6 points per game, 4 rebounds, and he's only 12.2% owned. And then last but not least for the power forwards, I have Dante Cunningham of the Minnesota Timberwolves. He's eating up some of that sunshine while Kevin Love's out. He's going to get you about 12.4 points per game and about 4 rebounds. High energy guy, and he is 0.1% owned in ESPN fantasy leagues.
That's a big jump. I'll tell you what, I add some names to this. In Utah, Derek Favors, he's 33% owned. You might want to take a look at him. Brandon Bass from Boston, he's 13.8% owned. He's worth a look. Andre Drummond, now he's 56% owned, but that means he's still available in a lot of leagues, and I would go after this kid if I could. As Andy said, Jeff Green is available. Go after him too. Somebody's got to score some points in Boston. It's going to either be Bass or Green, or they just don't score. Another guy, just take a look at him, is Byron Mullins from Charlotte. He's 13.8% owned. He's always been known as a rebounder. I think he still is. Antoine Jameson for the Clippers. With their injury woes, Vinny Del Negro is going to hold these guys, some of these guys back. Antoine Jameson may get a few more minutes. He's only 7.7% owned.
The Lakers, Phil.
Oh, I'm sorry. The Lakers. Excuse me.
But yeah, they have injuries too, so yeah.
I had the little notes I put down. L.A., and I've been thinking Clippers all day, but thank you. Antoine Jameson, you just never know. Never know. Anyway, we've got a few minutes left, and the centers are usually the easiest because there just aren't that many. Let me see. I'll throw out a name. What about Andre Drummond, 56% owned? How do you like him?
And Drummond's great. I think his draft stock fell, which was so weird. Sometime, I don't even know, right near the draft this last season, his stock just like plummeted, and I couldn't figure it out for the life of me. But he's been a great player. He's been stepping up as of late. I think with them losing Tayshaun on the wing, there's going to be more room for a guy like Drummond to get in there and get some solid minutes alongside Greg Monroe. The one thing that's going to stand out with Drummond the most is his defense. Great shot blocker. He's long. He can steal the ball. And I said that from the beginning when I actually wrote up a mock for this last year's draft that he was going to be a problem because of his height. He had height that can bother NBA players right from the gun. But a few of the names that I have, I had some of the same guys as you. I just had them listed that you listed for power forward. I had them listed as center. Derek Favors. Some of the other guys I had real quick while my computer seems to be frozen here. But I had Spencer Hawes. I'd love to get you those numbers if my computer wasn't frozen. But anyway, I had Spencer Hawes. Can't give you the numbers. I had Maurice Spates. We talked about him as power forward. He can play both positions. I had Derek Favors, again, a guy who can play both positions. I have – jeez, I wish this thing wasn't frozen, Phil. Who do you have going?
Don't worry about it. I'll help you out here. I never turn my browser on because Skype, and I just have to make sure the sound's good, but that doesn't matter. Anyway, I have a few for you. JaVale McGee from Denver, 47.5% owned. Taj Gibson from Chicago, 44% owned. And with Joakim Noah having his problems, that's a guy that you could probably grab. Derek Favors is another one. Utah, I think I already mentioned him. Aaron Gray from Toronto, he's only 0.7% owned. And a lot of people are picking him up. White Vegas. Let's see who
Robin else. Lopez.
Robin Lopez, yeah.
That's one I have.
That one. He is 35.5% owned. Jason Thompson from Sacramento. I've had him on my team all year. Very happy with him. 16.8% owned. Another guy, Andre Blatch, 9.6% owned. You have to remember, Brooklyn's going to self-destruct at some point, and Blatch is probably going to be the recipient of some good things. Channing Frye is another one, but I think he's hurt right now. Yeah, he's hurt. What about Kendrick Perkins from Oklahoma City? He'll get you some rebounds. So absolutely, they're out there. They're out there for you. Ed Davis, 21% owned. You never know what can happen. They like to roll their bigs down there in Memphis. They also like to give their bigs a break, and he can come in and fill in adequately for Marcus Saul. Andrew Bogut, you know, believe it or not, Andrew Bogut is still available in 8% of the ESPN leagues. Crazy stuff, Andy, crazy stuff. But this has been a great show. Tyler Zeller, my last one. Take a look at Tyler Zeller from Cleveland. He's 6.3% owned. You never know. Just keep looking. You know, we're not trying to tell you who to put on your fantasy basketball teams. What we're just trying to do is give you some names, give you a spot to look at so that you can do what you got to do. And you know what, Andy? That's going to wrap it up for today's Phil Nason Show.
I had a great time, Phil. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thank you so much, man. We'll have you back on next week. You can find Andy over at sportskings.com. That's sports-kings.com. Tomorrow night, Jamie and Smith and I will be talking NFL football. And on Friday, we'll be doing a full hour of fantasy baseball with Eric Pleiss. Finally, I have the iTunes problem solved. Like I said, I would on Tuesday's show. It was done by Tuesday afternoon. Thank goodness for that, so you can get all that done. And I'd say, well, we got a lot of great things to talk about in the next few days. Until then, you all take care of yourselves. Be good. Be kind to one another. And most importantly, thanks for listening.
Ladies and gentlemen, my mother thanks you. My father thanks you. My sister thanks you. And I thank you.